and step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 866. I am Lisa Sheps, and I am joined by my wild and wacky co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello!
You are listening to the two of us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, all the while streaming live at KOOP.org.
Hurry, hurry, and step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your
It is Wednesday, March 4th, 2026. On the show today, we have our very, very dear friends from Penfold Theater and their show, Wild Horses, Can't Drag Me Away. No, it's just Wild Horses. And then later on, we're going to have Bandwagon Arts and their show, Private Lives. And of course, we're going to have a lively discussion of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Kingston, New York, as well as Albany, New York. Stick with us. So, you know why I'm playing that.
I do. This brings me joy because I felt like we were doing a Who's On First through all of
well,
this.
Well, we
here.
Were. And I, so here's the deal. So I finally, you sent me Instagram things of this thing about the Lion King, but I got no information from it. Because the Instagram thing wouldn't work. It said I had to swipe and I'm on a computer. And then you sent me the article and I looked at the article, and decided we would talk about it. Don't give it away yet. And then
I sent you a TikTok.
And then I went on YouTube and saw the clip and that changed
everything.
Oh, I
sent you a TikTok link because you're
on
there.
I didn't look at that.
But
before we get into that, I need to check in with you. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Okay. And I need to thank
Kim Simpson.
Kim J. Simpson.
Oh.
We add the J now.
I love it.
And another wonderful International Folk Bazaar. And finally, I need to thank all of our listeners for contributing during our membership drive,
fantastic,
especially one
members.
Liz.
Yes, Liz.
We love Liz. And I'll just say I love Carol Lee. I don't know if she gave this year, but she's a avid listener and I haven't talked to her in a while. Carol Lee, I miss you. Let's introduce our splendiferous guest today.
Yes.
I believe.
Splendiferous. I like that.
I believe that you are our first splendiferous guest ever in our 17 years.
This is it.
Nathan Jerkins. Hi.
Hi. It is so nice to be here.
It is so nice to have you here. Do you know the reference for this Lion King thing that we're going to talk about?
I think I do, which is to say I have recently discovered a very interesting Lion King thing about that song, and I'm guessing it's the same thing.
Okay.
Also, the YouTube thing that just happened to pop up, it's because YouTube knew that you had sent that TikTok link,
yes,
right?
Yes.
YouTube knew.
Actually,
I
searched for it.
I found it on TikTok for her.
Yeah, but going...
Because she's like, I can't open the Instagram.
It's listening all the time.
Going straight to the source, it's happened at a podcast called 154 Africa, and it's just beautiful. So let's give it a listen.
You were way off.
All right.
What does it mean?
It means,
look, there's a lion. Oh my God.
You're joking.
That is
not what that means. That is not what that means.
That's exactly what it means.
That's what it means. Look, there's a lion.
Oh my God.
There's a lion. Oh my God. It's a lion.
What is beautiful about that clip is not so much the information, which is really funny, but it's their reaction and the laughter And that whole, I watched the whole podcast.
Their faces are hilarious. Oh yeah, it was great.
So good.
And apparently, like, some people discovered this years ago, but then like it went to the wayside. Someone was online posting about it, so all those things started resurfacing, mm-hmm. and it made this whole new conversation about the Lion King. Because, you know, there's a lot of crazy stuff trending, and the Lion King was in the middle of it. I was like, what is going on here? What blasphemy? And then I was like, oh, no, I needed this.
Look, there's a lion. Oh, my God.
Let the Lion King be trending right now.
There's a lion. Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. I was like, please, no. Oh, I'm going to click on that one. Yes.
Well, and we all have this opinion because this show... You know, during the Lion King, whenever there's the African music is going on, it just feels spiritual.
It does.
And it feels deep. All those people that look like me think we're really being deep in African culture.
But can't that be deep and simple?
Yes.
Well, it can.
I think that's the best way.
That's what I think is awesome.
Look at all of these deep and spiritual things in all the really simple stuff.
Yeah.
Let's be clear, though. Lions are not simple and they will kill you.
Well, no, they will. They are simple because they will simply kill you.
Oh, that's it.
So, yeah, that brought a whole new thing. And I was going to be bringing it talking about it on the show, and then I said I should just, because I was just I read it and I never saw the podcast, and this morning as I was putting the show together I said, well, I should just look at the podcast. And I love these three guys,
the three gentlemen. They're fantastic.
So much fun. And because
you felt like you were sitting in the room having the conversation with them.
Yes.
And it was just warm and inviting and pure. You can see from their
joy, faces
besides listening, just the reactions of enjoying everything.
Pure joy. And they had so much fun. And the laughter is so contagious.
Yes.
It was so much fun.
Which is why I was so insistent on making sure you could read it.
Because
you gave up at the beginning. You were like, yep, can't open it. And I was like, nope, not going to let this go. I'm going to text. I'm going to email. I'm going to find 5 different formats. And I'm going to force Lisa Sheps to pay attention to the Lion
King. Yeah, and you did. Good, good. And I am the better person for it. So there. Well, great. Well, that was a good way to start this. And let's just go directly from the Lion King.
I was like that pokey younger sister that just wouldn't let it go.
I have one of those.
We'll go straight from the Lion King to Bigfoot.
Oh.
Well, from one animal to...
Tell me about Bigfoot.
I don't know anything about this.
Do you think Bigfoot is real, Lisa?
I don't know. Do you have an opinion?
You know, it's one of those opinions that goes one way and the other way. And I'm also at the same time at this point in my life. Why not? At this point, why not? That totally could be true and I could totally be wrong.
Why not? And I guess the question is it Bigfoot or big feet? Does he have 2 feet that are the same size? Or is it just one foot that's bigger than the other?
That is it.
I don't know, because it would be very different if there was like a size 20 footprint and then a size 6 footprint.
You could go ask Carrie and the Hendersons.
He's been through some things. Yeah. He only has one left.
There is a review of the show Bigfoot. It's called Bigfoot, an ogre who just wants to be friends. And
we talked about this when they were making it.
We did.
I said it sounded very Harry and the Hendersons meets. Oh my gosh, I forgot what the other thing is.
And the review in the New York Times is written by Naveen Kumar, and he starts out the review by saying, "Quote."
Oh, I like Naveen. He writes for the Post. Yeah.
Well, this was the New York Times.
Yeah.
He says, "Quote: The so-called monster at the heart of the new musical Bigfoot." Is a sort of irresistibly charming beast your 7-year-old self might have dreamed up as an imaginary friend, his luxurious fur blowing in the wind as if on tour with Beyonce.
I'll tell you, another thing we need in life.
Right.
I'm here for it.
And this was written by Amber Ruffin and I got to find her.
It's a wild, crazy, good bunch. I remember us talking about this, but I don't remember
offhand.
Yeah,
they didn't put the two... playwrights together on the article. And so I'm trying. Oh, and Kevin Skiretta. But I have to tell you, I am a new super fan of Amber Ruffin. There is a television show on HBO. It's called Have I Got News for You?
Uh-huh.
And it's
there's 3 of them.
Yes, there are three people. Sorry, I didn't know where you were going with that. It's Roy Wood Jr., and then Amber Ruffin, and what's his name?
Very sweet white guy. I see all
but
their commercials.
She is, they are, all three of them are so funny. Mm-hmm. And Amber Ruffin, especially with her takes, she would just have these takes, these things that she would just come out with in her face. I want to meet this person. Anyway, so when we had talked about it before and knew that she was writing it, I had to make sure that we got it. So this is done at New York City Center Stage. It opened last Sunday. It's directed and choreographed by Danny Mefford. And it's set in 1980-something in a town called Mud Dirt.
Yes.
Which I love.
It's a great name.
And it says, quote, this is part of the review, Bigfoot playfully crams as many tropes as it can into a 90-minute running time, taking cues from cult sci-fi films, TV sitcoms like ALF, and stage shows that have trod similar territory, including Bat Boy the Musical.
You said ALF. Now all I have in my head is, Kate, Willie, I kill myself.
I don't know.
I just can't stop. Oh my gosh, Lisa, that's in my head now. Thank you.
Yeah. So it looks like
I would go.
A lot of fun. It is. I did not mention this. It is a musical.
Yeah, I know.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
The
music is by Amber Ruffin and David Schmoly.
Right?
Schmoll.
Schmoll. Schmoll.
Schmoll.
I would go.
Yeah, I would totally go.
Maybe I will.
Well, you have your chance. It closes. It goes through April 26th at City Center.
So Amber Ruffin wrote the music, but is an actress in that HBO show.
Right. Yeah,
it's a game show.
It's actually not new. It came over from England.
No, I said news.
It is a news. It is a news game show.
I didn't say no. Clever. I knew exactly about it.
And it's teams that fight it. It's Amber Ruffin and guy, Michael somebody.
I don't know.
And they have a celebrity guest with them. And they always usually have a comedian and somebody from the news and politics.
Right.
And it is quite funny. It is quite left wing, which makes it even better.
Sure.
And Roy Wood Jr. is really, really funny in it. That's it. That's the end of the story. I believe it airs also on CNN. I believe it is a CNN.
It was a CNN, now with the new purchase.
Who maybe not so much anymore.
Is. But this person also
Michael
wrote
Ian.
This musical,
Michael
which
Ian
is going to be amazing.
Oh, yes.
Michael
the name
Ian
gets
Black.
Cut off to the second line there, and I only read the first.
Sure. Who is so funny and so white next to Amber's opposite of that.
Sure,
it's just
sure.
so much fun. So, good. So that's Bigfoot. So let's go from Bigfoot to Big Nose.
Cyrano?
Oh, I was thinking, what are we doing here?
It was Cyrano or Pinocchio.
Oh, there
those
it is.
Are the only big nose
Someone's
got to
be
I
writing
know.
A
it's
Pinocchio
Cyrano.
Musical.
There is. Okay. Well, it's not a musical. It is a lesbian twist on Cyrano.
All right.
With Beth Malone, who wrote it with Marianne Stanton, and Emily Sayers. Who is one of the Indigo Girls in the music?
Oh,
it is a musical.
Say,
it's got
to be an Indigo Girls.
It's a jukebox with Indigo Girls music.
Okay.
Oh, welcome back to the 90s.
Yeah.
So
the 90s are hot right now.
It's going to have its world premiere at Bucks County Playhouse in New Hope, which have either of you been to New Hope?
Yes.
It's such an adorable little town.
It is a lovely little town.
And it's a queer Mecca.
It's a quintessential little Eastern town. It
Came
is.
Very close to looking at that to move into, but you know what?
Why didn't
it's
you?
It's super expensive.
Oh, well, that's a good
it's
reason.
It's right on the yep. border between Pennsylvania and New York.
Yes.
In the Hudson Valley.
Which is a beautiful area.
Valley, in Bucks County. And it plays through March 21st. And it is called Starstruck.
Oh, I like that title. Mm.
And here it is. In this production, a gruff Idaho park ranger and astronomer Sid DeBerg, played by Beth Malone, finds herself falling for an ebullient podcaster named Roxanne, who's Krista Rodriguez, but steps aside to help a sweet doofus of a colleague woo her. To make the situation even more complicated, Sid wants to create the first international Dark Sky Reserve in the United States, but faces some local opposition.
Interesting.
And that's it. This is directed and choreographed by Lauren Lotero.
All right.
People will know Beth Malone from Fun Home. And it's interesting. Okay. They started, when she's interviewed for this article, they were talking about queer plays and things like that. And they thought that Fun Home was going to change, that it was going to be like an onslaught of queer stuff after that, which didn't really pan out completely. They ended up being wrong. So
yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah,
to say that.
And this was developed during the pandemic when they were shut down. So her and Stratton—I forgot Stratton's first name. This is the one, Marianne Stratton, via Zoom, I guess, did all this all while they were locked up during the shutdown.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's good. I am a big Cyrano fan. In all its incarnations.
You want to know what? I like all the different incarnations of it, too. I'm not going to lie.
Classic Nathan, for a reason.
You're shaking
Touché.
Your head.
No. Yeah.
You're shaking your head in agreement.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Has Penfold done a Cyrano?
We have not done a Cyrano.
It seems that would be a Penfold.
You think
we
would?
I do.
We could do a great Cyrano.
Yeah. And I missed the last one.
With Mark Puhey?
Mark Puhey. I believe they did one. Oh, never mind. I've got Cyrano mixed up with. No, it's Cyrano that Kathleen Fletcher played Cyrano.
Oh, really?
Oh,
that would have been great.
I
like her.
I love Kathleen Fletcher.
Let's just go with that. It happened.
Yeah. Look, if it didn't, it did not.
It did in our minds. How about
that? I'm like 90% sure it happened last year, but I could be wrong. I could totally be wrong. All right. So. Yeah, oh boy, we're gonna run out of time again. I may hold on this one, but let's switch to this article that I read about the sensory friendly Hamilton.
Yes.
So TDF has a whole series of sensory accessibility type shows that they do in New York that are sensory. Performances and other performances. They have a whole program around it. They're doing really, really good work. The one for Hamilton took place like 6 or 7 months ago, but there's a new little commercial about it that your boy Christopher, why did I just lose his last name? He played
George Washington.
George Washington. Chris, you love him.
Yeah, I know. And now you're making
me
lose his
hold on.
Name.
It's going to be right here. Anyway,
Jackson,
Christopher Jackson, whose child is, has autism.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, let's give this a listen. This is a little, thing that they put out.
TDF's autism friendly performances open the world of theater to a huge amount of people that normally would have more difficulty processing and experiencing something that it literally changes the world on a daily basis.
We are very, very excited. Today is the first ever autism-friendly performance of Hamilton.
I don't love Hamilton. I'm obsessed with Hamilton. I know all the lyrics to all the songs. This is actually my first ever time seeing it in person, looking around. I'm so lucky to be alive right now.
Art in and of itself is meant to be as accessible as possible. And so this just widens that doorway for more people to come through and enjoy the kind of work that we get to put into the world.
I couldn't agree with I could not agree with him more. I forgot about that false ending. But and I believe I have a link to this video that you can see on offstageonair.com later. But that little girl, by the way, did y'all get her?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I see what you're doing.
Yeah, but anyway.
How lucky we are to be alive right
now.
So good.
And she just pulled that out.
She obviously.
And she was adorable. I fell in love with this little girl.
Oh, yeah.
Everything about that was like the heart warmer.
So the next one that they're going to do is MJ the Musical, which is going to happen on March 8th. They're also doing Buena Vista Social Club and Juliet, and then Hamilton again in May. And then they just did Maybe Happy Ending as well. So I think that's so good. I think we need to do more of those. Ground Floor Theater has not done one. Has Penfold done a sensory?
We have not either.
Yeah. Many of our things aren't necessarily suited for it, I don't think, but I don't know.
It's interesting when you learn how much is without realizing it isn't, because I've worked on shows creating this kind of thing. And I will say the Broadway tours are really good about doing it. We have a few Touch Tour and Sensory Friendly tours where they're built specifically for each show with different guidelines for different ways the sensory friendly needs are, because it's not one size fits all.
I did not know you had built some of those shows before.
That we've worked on. It's just, I haven't been the one doing it, but being a part of the process and seeing what's going on, and it's not my genius.
You know, like
creation.
Lisa said, I don't know what I don't know, and I am not sure how to build one of those shows.
It's really cool. There are some people that...
you can get... there are people that can
talk to. I could track someone down.
And I would tell you that Art Spark, Texas would be a good resource here in town.
Yes.
All right.
Celia could help you with that. But also, the TDF, they also work with theaters, and they have, if you're in New York, they have grants in order for your theater to get captioning, open captions that are like permanently there and things like that.
There are some for other local stuff. Ginger Morris is a good one to talk to.
Okay,
about
great.
That.
Yep. Thank you.
So there you go.
Learning stuff.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's all about that. So let's see. What else did I want to talk about? Because we're running out of time.
Oh, yes.
I should say before I talk about this that the opinions expressed on Offstage and On the Air are not necessarily those of Co-op, its board of directors, volunteers, or underwriters.
They may
it's
not
just
like
ours.
Cyrano.
I just get so frustrated. This whole Kennedy Center thing kills me.
I knew where you were going.
Man.
And now they're, you know, now he's announced that they're going to close the Kennedy Center. And some people think they're going to raise the whole thing down like he did with the East Wing and rebuild, which would just be a shame.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that whole thing.
I'm just telling you my.
We didn't think the East Wing was going to be torn down.
No, I didn't. I didn't not.
He specifically said it. He wasn't going to do it.
Yes, but you know, juju said different. Yes.
But regardless, this article is not about the building itself, but it's about the Kennedy Center Honors, which will continue on.
Even with the closing, yes.
The president, Richard Grenell. Said that the awards will still be happening. They'll be at a different venue and a different name.
If it's a different name, is it the same?
It's an addition, just like the outside
Trump
of the building.
Kennedy
name.
Center Honors.
Ooh.
Yeah, just like the building got renamed.
So here's what angers me about that. I mean, this is not going to be a surprise to anybody that listens to this show, but I mean, and I don't care if I agreed with his politics or not, which I do not. I want to be clear. I don't agree with his politics. But the egomaniacal nature of this, of anybody that has to have their name slapped on everything that they touch, really angers me to know whatever the word is. And I don't know why more people aren't enraged by this on both sides of the political divide.
Sure.
Well, take that all aside too, this building, yes, it's a theater and everything, but it's actually a living memorial opposed to a memorial.
Correct.
So instead of having, like, we have the Jefferson Memorial and the Lincoln Memorial, instead of building something like that, this is what the family and the Kennedy Foundation decided should be. And so it's messing with a memorial.
Like,
but
that
evidently
just also happens to be doing arts and theater.
It's
like,
not
so
the
it's
Trump
a
Lincoln
weird...
Memorial. It's not the Trump Washington Memorial.
You know, he wants to build a Trump thing across the river.
Well, you know, put your name on your name, whatever. But like,
but don't put your name on someone else's thing.
This is bizarre.
Yeah. Well, but what I don't understand is the Kennedy family has said in no uncertain terms that they don't But that didn't stop them either.
Well, no.
I don't get it. I'm angry.
I get it.
I don't get it. And I've worked in that building. I did
it's
a show
cool
at the Kennedy Center. It's beautiful. I love it.
You get there, you see all the flags flying. It's cool.
So the Trump administration and the current board and the board president who was appointed by Trump, they're more than politicizing this. They are blamed the Democrats specifically for all the cancellations they've had. Not the people that are canceling, but the Democrats. And they said, and the president said, quote, and now they have mentally unstable people taking action and vandalizing the center. We've seen serious death threats and constant harassment. Common sense Democrats must speak up before this violence takes a life. Now, don't know, could be true, but I think it's a
There was violence. There was dancers attacked the other day.
But not at the behest of Democrats.
No. I thought you were talking about it, but I'm like, no, there was some violence the other night.
No, but it is a lie that the Democrats are creating that violence. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know who was behind that violence. So,
all right. We have two more things to say, and then we're going to take a little break. There is a play called His Name is Bobby Short. Do y'all remember Bobby Short?
We talked about this, I think. But yes,
this is a new play.
It's about Bobby Short.
Yeah, it's true. I think we talked about him when he passed.
It might be.
Which is in 2005. But anyway, the Abingdon Theater Company is doing an invite-only industry of a presentation of a new show by Chris Ely Bank called His Name Was Bobby Short, directed by Chad Austin.
Dun, dun, dun.
Just Austin. Anyway, just thought that was very interesting. And I was going to... He is most known for doing a lot of Cole Porter hits.
Oh, okay.
And now I'm trying to think of why I was going to play this song. Can't remember. Oh, no. Yes. No, yes. Can't remember. Well, but anyway, it doesn't matter because I'm not going to play the song. Because I forgot to put it on my media.
Oh, no.
So,
well, I'm going to be the person in the room to say, I don't know Bobby Short.
Oh, okay.
Tell me and our radio listeners who don't know.
Let's see, because this may be of a certain age thing. There was a commercial for Charlie Perfume that he was a spokesperson for Charlie Perfume for a long time.
I'm going to show you a photo.
It was a ubiquitous commercial.
All right.
Anyway, he's a performer.
As they were at that time.
He played at the Carlisle. He like had a standing thing at the Carlisle. He was on Broadway twice. He was in
Lounge Singer Man.
He was in a play called Nightlife in 1962. And then he had a one-person show that was a one-night show called The Celebration of Richard Rogers in 1972.
Hmm.
But you're about to look at a picture of him.
Yes. Yeah.
See if you recognize him.
You're going to have to hold that back.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
We're destroying.
Yep.
Equipment.
Yep. I'm dropping things. All right. Yes. Devilishly handsome. Got you. Mm-hmm. I would.
Hey, don't recognize him. Well,
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Your job is to go and listen to his music. His voice is like butter.
I was about to say his voice may be recognizable to you without you going, aha, I knew who that was.
Maybe.
All right, we're going to take a little break. You know what we're going to do? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go and listen to, I don't know what we're going to listen to.
We're gonna have Bobby on here.
No, he's not there. You know, we're gonna listen to this twice. We're gonna listen to "Losing My Mind" from Follies, sung by Bobby Short, and then we're gonna listen to it again at the end of the show.
Okay.
We will be right back.
The sun comes up. I think about you. The coffee cup. I think.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa, Nicole, and Nathan.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. We are going to now switch gears and talk to Nathan and our surprise guest.
I love surprises.
So from Penfold Theater's production of Wild Horses, and we have the co-artistic... What's your title these days at Penfold?
I'm co-artistic director of the company, and I also assistant
You're the assistant director of this show.
This show. And why was I assistant directing this show? A, because, you know, there are talented directors to learn from, like Rudy Ramirez.
Rudy Ramirez. God, I wish he were here with us.
I wish
they
were still in town.
Can you put him in the magic box and make it happen?
I don't know. I'm waiting for them to say something.
Speed.
Rudy, are you there?
No. Well, shoot, this was going to be very dramatic.
No, you're not there. Hold on.
Is Rudy on hold?
Oh, you know what? I did. I forgot to press this button.
They're calling in.
There we go.
Rudy, can you hear me?
Rudy, can you hear me?
I was doing a whole, like, ghost voice routine.
Oh, that was brilliant.
Like, echoing.
Classy.
Echoing, classy. Calling your name. Lisa, Lisa, Lisa.
Totally
here,
my fault.
Here,
there was a button
here,
that I forgot to push. So, you know.
They got it.
If anybody, we get, you know, here at Co-op, we have peer reviews. People listen to us mm-hmm. and give us reviews and critiques. And one is our technical proficiency. So if I'm reviewed on this show, please be kind to me right now.
It was all
normally
part of
the phones are the things I do best.
It actually is.
I know.
I know.
I've in 17 years, that's the first time I've done that.
It happens.
Rudy and Nathan, y'all are here to talk about your show, Wild Horses, playing at Penfold Theater. Rudy, can you tell us about this show?
Yes, I can. So this show actually debuted at the Vortex back in 2017.
I'm unfamiar with that theater.
It's obscure. it's behind the food truck. Anyway, it was our very first National New Play Network Rolling Roll premiere. And it starred Jennifer Coy Jennings, and it is about a woman who's sitting at in this version, she's sitting at a food truck outside a bar that once upon a time was a Tasty Freeze, and is telling the people around her about her memories of this place and this town and this community. And especially her two best friends from when she was 13. And it's about the wild hijinks they got up to, the risks they took, the trouble they got into, the narrow escapes, and how they try to set free some horses.
Wonderful.
Steal.
If I had a nickel.
They mean steal horses.
And this is a solo show, correct?
This is a solo show. It is Jen and only Jen.
Yep. So, and
she
it's,
is
and
so
it's,
good in this.
So you and Jen are both reprising your roles.
Mm-hmm.
We are indeed. It was really wonderful to be back together, and we're so grateful to Penfold for the opportunity to do that because this show means a lot to both of us.
Yeah. Well, having been a person that has acted alongside of Jen Jennings. What a valuable asset to the theater community.
Amazing.
That y'all have here. As you had mentioned, Nathan, that Rudy is not in Austin, Texas anymore. Tell folks where you are, Rudy.
I am currently in my apartment in Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, and, heard of that place.
Been living this. I'm getting close to my second year of living here, and really loving it up here. But I always love coming back to Austin to work on stuff.
Yep. So you were coming in.
You're a Nexon now, Rudy. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the club.
A Nexon. I like that. So you were coming in and out. So you had a ringer of an assistant director. How was the situation directing from afar and coming back and forth and working with Nathan?
Well, I've always loved Nathan's work. I remember like seeing some of the pieces that Nathan has done for Penfold, and like when I was on the pain committee, I was like, I want to compete against Nathan. I want my shows to be against Nathan's because I really love having, you know, really great work alongside, you know, anything that I've done. We did a lot of stuff, you know, like on, you know, Zoom in terms of like coordinating the design, but the fact that we'd done this before with Jen meant that I was able to come in for like short periods yeah. in January and then just, this past month in February, to work with her on the biggest challenge that we had is that when we did the Vortex, it was in the Pony Shed, and it was 25 people a night, and Jen had about mm-hmm. about as much space as you have behind your desk there at Co-op, if I remember correctly, to like play out her scenes. And so this time we have Penfold's amazing new space, which was so great to get to work in, and a, like, honestly, I think six or more times as much space on stage as we had before. And so it was about figuring out, all right, how do you take this show that was designed to be so, like, micro and put it in a more conventional theater space?
So, Nathan, what was, from a Penfold perspective, why bring this show back and why now?
So there are a handful of things that I really like about this. First of all, I really liked this show when it first went up. And it is a show that I realize isn't necessarily set in Texas, but feels very local, very present. And also, part of what we were interested in doing in our new place in Austin is periodically, not all the time, but every once in a while, bringing back both shows from Penfold's past, but also shows like Wild Horses mm-hmm. that had played down in Austin several years ago, and our new audience up in Round Rock had not seen. And I want to be able to sort of showcase some of those great things that felt like we sort of had in our back pocket and could pull up. Having said that, that was only possible because both Jen and Rudy graciously wanted to bring this show again because it meant so much to them, yeah. right? This show ends up being about, I think, so one of the things that I love most about this show is that it's a coming of age show, but it's not told by the teenagers coming of age. It's told by the middle-aged mom of teenagers yeah. who is remembering what it was like to make all of those terrible choices and how she realizes, I think that was the summer I grew up. I had no idea it was happening at that time. Mm-hmm. And look, there it is, right? And that is such a story of hope and empathy, which is kind of our whole thing. That's a story that everybody feels, sure. especially that I, as a dad of two, looking back, one is on the cusp of teenagerness, and I'm thinking, oof, I remember being that age, and gosh, I hope this goes better for him.
So for those folks that saw this at the Vortex and they want to come up and see it at Penfold, what kind of, other than the venue, which is mm-hmm. obviously very different, what kind of changes are there? What will they see a little bit different than they did before?
So I'm going to jump in, and Rudy, you will get to finish this off, but I want to start by saying one of the things that I really like about this, Patrick and Holly Crowley designed the set, and it really blurs mm-hmm. the line of audience and actor, the way they have built the set. Some of the lighting comes out over the audience, and we actually have three tables of audience members sitting on stage because the concept of this set is that this is a closed late night, food truck park. And so these are the people who are sitting around, and this is the person who's performing it. So you have audience on stage, you have an actor going out into the audience, and I'm a sucker for theater as storytelling, mm-hmm. and this is really good storytelling.
That's what theater is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything, did Absolutely. You approach this any differently, Rudy, this time around?
Well, I think in terms of thinking about how to fill that space, Jen, she'll be playing all the parts, as the joke goes. And so we really worked on creating full physicalities for all of the different characters she plays in this young woman's life. And Nathan and Jen did some great work on that as well. I think when you see the character's mother, that's really something that they found together while I was away. And so I think that the use of that space and Jen's full body, and also the fact that Jen herself has become a mother since she first played this character, and that's really informing a lot of the choices and the instincts. And we really made new discoveries about who these characters were, based on, I think, her being a mom and me being a teacher, and knowing so many mm-hmm. more young people and being like, oh, this is who they are, and this is how they think and how they move through the world. And so I think a lot of that there's a lot, there's an even richer depth from our life experience as well.
Oh, that's
awesome.
Is there anything else that you would want to highlight for this production? We could tell our audience, any members of the team or anything that you want to talk about?
Oh,
I think it's just a great team. Yeah. go for it, Nathan. Go
sure.
For it.
I'll say, Patrick Anthony is doing our lighting, and I think this is one of, his, best works. Really makes this place come alive, especially having, again, an actor in the audience, an audience in the actors. So that is particularly great. And Jen is just so magnetic to listen to. Yeah. And Rudy has been able to take a person. One-person shows are hard, right?
Yep.
And they've been able to take Jen through embodying all of these people and working this whole space without chewing the scenery, right? It's the partnership there has just been magical. Yeah.
And I should say that Jen Jennings knows how to chew scenery.
Yeah.
Well, yes, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Well, great. Absolutely. We just have a few more minutes left here, but I wanted to give you the opportunity. I know that Penfold, now that it has a permanent space, as have some new kind of programming.
That's right. Now that we have our own space, which we opened about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, we
has
are
it been that long.
I know, right?
Oh my gosh.
We have been able to. What is time? I'm not sure. But we have been able to expand an education program, which we've always wanted, but is hard to do when you don't have a permanent space, right? So we are launching summer camps all through the summer. Next fall, we're going to be launching some after school classes, all of which is really exciting and that we have been wanting to organize for a long time, and we finally have the ability to do that. So anyone up north of town who is a person or has a child or grandchild or precocious neighbor who you think might be interested in a theater camp this summer, penfoldtheater.org is our website.
Great. That's awesome. That's amazing. So when does... Wild Horses has opened. Yes.
It opened last weekend. Yeah. Super good, and runs for another 2 weekends.
It closes on the 15th of March. Does that sound
right?
It does. Okay, great. Well, Rudy and Nathan, thank you so much for joining
Rudy,
us.
Rudy, do we get you again in Austin soon?
Yeah, we miss you here.
So I will be back. We've got an amazing show coming up in the Vortex called Another Kind of Silence.
Mm-hmm.
We're working on it with an amazing collection of both deaf and hearing artists.
Awesome.
Lisa, I'll be talking with you about maybe doing a little panel with the work that y'all do at Ground Floor for a little symposium we want to do.
That's awesome. I love all this.
Symposiums are fancy.
Wonderful. Well, thank you all so much for being on the show.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
That was Nathan Jerkins and Rudy Ramirez of Penfold Theater's production of Wild Horses. Play now through March 15th. For more information, you may visit penfoldtheater.org. This is from the show Trevor, and it is called Horse. We'll be right back.
The name of the game is Horse, but you don't want the letter E.
Okay, we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air here on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, to say it officially.
Yes.
At 91.7 on your dial, which isn't really a dial anymore, is it?
I
don't
have
a dial. I like to think of it as a dial.
I have a dial on there.
Anyway, yeah. Let's
my car is just old.
Let's talk about our local stuff. I need to start by talking about Amplify Austin.
It's happening.
Which starts tonight
today.
At 6 o'clock till tomorrow at 6 p.m. And that's a annual day of giving done by I Live Here, I Give Here, and all these organizations, including Co-op, are participating. Is Penfold part
Penfold
of Amplify
this year? Is part of it.
I'm so surprised that so many other cities haven't caught on to doing this.
It happens in other cities, I think.
Does it? Because I look to see and I'm like, why is everyone not doing it? It's
I think
so
I Live
cool.
Here, Give Here is a national organization, but I could
I don't
be wrong.
Know. I think it's fantastic. Yeah. I love it's so exciting to see your community getting out there. And the little ticker going.
Yep.
And
It is very, very exciting. And I will just say this, just, you know, not that I want to slant your opinion, but Ground Floor Theater is having a little get together at Stargazer Bar From 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock. There's gonna be lots of fun and games.
I do like those places.
Yep.
Yes,
Star
they Laser. Are exciting.
And ground floor.
And ground floor. I've heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing I want to talk about locally is Walking Shadow Shakespeare's got an interesting project.
Tell me about this one. They always do fun stuff. What's
they
this one?
Do fun stuff. And the normal thing that they have been doing in the past is unrehearsed Shakespeare. They
right.
just get a group of people and then come over and do it. This is called, this program is called Short Shakespeare. And this is a night of three short plays inspired by Shakespeare. One is I Loved You Ever by Pablo Munoz Evers. And then
I love the everything about that
uh-huh.
from the play on the title to the play on the name
yep.
to the play on
and then
them
we have
together
uh huh
and then we
not.
Have
sorry that excited and, me
and then we have Puck in Epilogue by Amber Elby.
All right.
Oh, all right.
And finally a new adaptation of a classic that is not credited with hold on it's not credited with any. Act,
unknown
playwright.
Person.
Could be the bard himself. It's Macbeth, but he's just a sword.
Interesting.
I hope that's the whole title, Macbeth, but he's just a sword.
That is the title.
Oh, of course it is.
Maybe
that
it
is
was
the
written,
title.
Maybe it was written by just a
so,
sword.
So I Loved uh-huh. You Ever is directed by Kennedy Thompson and has a whole bunch of actors. I'm not going to read them all. Macbeth, but he's just a sword is directed by Andrew Solis. And then Puck in Epilogue is directed by Mike Crignola and features Stephanie Crignola, who are the founders and artistic directors of Walking Shadow
yeah.
Shakespeare.
Yeah. All right, it's fun.
When is it going to be, you might ask?
When, Lisa?
March 4th through 7th.
That's today.
7:30,
oh.
right.
All right.
At 7:30, and then they've got a matinee on the 7th at 2 p.m. at Trinity Street.
Trinity
oh, that's
Street.
Pretty great.
More information at walkingshadowshakespeare.com. Finally, I mentioned it last week, The Sanctuary, which is a new building, artistic community building, sort of headed up by Austin Creative Alliance. It's having an open house.
Amazing.
On the 7th from 12 to 5.
Bum, bum, bum.
Lots of performances and stuff, lots of their folks.
Go see what's
right.
happening creatively.
Let's go through our list.
Yes, let's.
Shall we? You want to start?
Sure, I can start.
We don't have a third copy, so you can't participate.
I have a grocery list. I mean,
there you go.
Okay.
All right, good. So here's what we're going to do. Every
granola,
third thing you will read
cream.
A list
every
on
third
your grocery
thing,
list.
You
okay,
have to read, a, read
okay,
something
here
off
we
your
go.
List.
You
ready?
Start.
Austin Playhouse currently has Carmela Full of Wishes playing through the 15th and also has Cindy's Radio Hour on March 6th, 7th, and 8th.
Zach Theater has Charlotte's Reb through April 17th.
I'm going by H-E-B and I'm going to get some of those butter tortillas. They're so good.
Georgetown Palace has The Mountaintop through March 8th.
University of Texas UTNT New Works Festival is still happening through March 6th.
I like the Almond Crunch Cheerios. Those are my favorite, the almond ones.
Hyde Park Theater has Witch. Now playing through March 21st.
Okay, you're gonna. You get to,
sorry.
No, never mind.
You keep going. I'm not gonna interrupt.
No, no, you need
out.
To.
You
no,
need
no,
to
we need
it.
To. I was gonna have you do this one, but I'll do it. Please. Penfold Theater has Wild Horses through March 15th.
March 15th.
What
Penfold
else are you
Theater
gonna buy?
Has,
now it's your turn. What's next on your list?
Well, next on my list is the off-brand peanut butter granola bars. My son practically lives on those.
Okay, we also have Dirty Gold Theater with Yoke through March 7th at Sterling Stage.
Austin Community College has Reefer Madness through the 14th.
Avocados, not too firm.
Bandwagon Arts, Private Lives, opening tomorrow and running through the 20th at Ground Floor Theater.
At Broadway in Austin's got The Great Gatsby happening March 10th through 15th.
CBC
yep.
is doing Wild Card Peter Pan March 5th through the 14th at Oak Hill Theater.
Which I had never heard of. And we just talked about Walking Shadow Shakespeare, doing Short Shakespeare from the 4th to the 8th at Trinity Street. I believe we have a new way we're going to be doing our list.
This is fantastic. And what's the final item?
I just happened to have a list in my
what's
pocket.
What's the final
it's
item?
It's shaving cream because I shave my head now.
Oh, there you go.
So,
love it.
There it is.
There you go. Those of you watching on the webcam can see the shaved head.
Yeah.
auditions, Lake Travis Musical Theater, still, this will be the last time we say it, Into the Woods. Those auditions are March 7th.
Into the Woods.
Dirty Gold Theater is auditioning for Insomnia on the 22nd. And different stages, this is just for you.
Mm-hmm.
Stage blood.
I love a blood budget, and a fire budget, and a water budget.
Those auditions are also on the 22nd. And let's go to do Today in Theater History.
Dun, 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 stuff happened.
Let's start with birthdays. Lily Cooper.
Yes.
Laura Michelle Kelly.
Oh,
Steven Weber.
I love me some Steven
Weber. I know more of a
Weber.
TV actor than anything else.
I think when he was a young gent, he did a lot of the theater.
Probably. Romain Frugier. I don't know him, but you can
eat. Can we just talk about that great name?
That sounds delicious.
The only thing would have been better if his last name was
Frugier.
I'm going
to add that to my grocery list.
Oh,
Romain Frugier is my
sorority
name in college.
you've had so many of those.
And then Barbara McNear. Shows opening, lots of shows. Coastal Disturbances opened up in 1987. A Bee Handing in Spokane. I don't remember that
I don't know, but that
like
sounds
that
nefarious.
Show.
2010, we were doing our shows back
yeah,
then.
Yeah, why don't we know
Hyde
about
Park
that?
Did that.
Really?
Was, yeah,
Bee
really
Handing
good.
In Spokane?
Uh-huh. Aaron Alexander was in it. It was anyway, it was
then
great.
Maybe we
sounds
interviewed
really so
them,
good.
And we just sound very dumb
I don't know
right
when
now.
They did it, but it was good.
Shame on us.
Annie, Get Your Gun, Revival.
Which one?
Revival, 1999.
Okay, I was about to say, but which revival?
And then Metamorphosis sure. In 2002.
That was Reba and Bernadette years.
I saw the original in, it was. They have a soundtrack of that one.
Yeah, the 99. One.
I saw the Chicago before they got to New York.
Oh, Metamorphosis? Yeah.
Amazing.
It's so good.
Fancy. And then I had totally forgotten about this one, The Goodbye Girl.
Oh, that's a fun
Bernadette
one.
And,
I was about to say, we're right back to Bernadette.
Bernadette and
Martin Short, right?
Martin Short, yeah. And that's what we're going to go away listening to. We're going to listen to My Rules from The Goodbye Girl. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Don't speak. I need your attention. I'm not going to say this twice.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole. I should say we were supposed to have our guests from Bandwagon Arts on at this point. So I will say that they are opening... Private Lives tomorrow
night.
One
of my favorite Noel Coward pieces. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've never seen it, so I'm looking forward to seeing it.
So good.
And amongst the other actors in it, Vivian Noble, who I just love dearly, is in it. And the set looks amazing. Speaking of Patrick Anthony, he did both the set and lights.
Oh, did he?
Oh, did he?
Love that guy.
So well worth seeing. For more information, you can go to bandwagonarts.org. To get more information. And oh my, you know that we could actually go out with that song that we were going to play for that.
Oh!
Which would be a different song.
Just moving and shaking.
But
Nathan,
thank you for sticking with us.
Nathan,
I am thrilled to be able to take everyone else's slot.
Just be here with us all day.
It.
And we got your grocery list.
Thank you.
Did you miss any items? Letting the listeners know about
there's always
any items?
More. I'll probably buy an impulse thing on the way out, like a brownie or something.
Okay, well, you should, personally, if it was me, I would be looking for all the new Japanese products that the HEB has around.
Okay.
They have all the sandos now, including the katsu sandos and the strawberry cream
sandos. I do really
sandos.
Like the word sando.
Yeah, what's Japanese for sandwich?
Sure.
This episode of Offstage and On the Air was brought to you by Japanese food at the grocery store.
Yum.
Anyway, we were...
Nihon Tabimono, Japanese food.
Oi veis mirai.
That's how you say
I
it in
Japanese.
I lost
control of the show.
In Nihongo,
it's
Japanese.
All gone. And we're done.
And we're done. I want to thank you all. Coming up next is... I don't know. What's next? What's new?
What's new?
What's
I think
next
it
is
might
what's new.
Be where Tracy Scholl lets you know
what's new.
What's new?
Yeah. So once again, folks, thank you for participating in our membership drive.
It
keeps co-op alive, keeps us
it
on the
does.
Air with all this very important information about what is Nathan going to buy at the grocery store next week.
And if you missed it, you can find co-op up on the Amplify.
That's true.
Along with some other exciting
AmplifyATX.org.
It's
I'm
really
sure
fun to watch your community number grow and people give back. I live here, I give here.
It really is. So this song is actually from the show Private Lives, written by Noel Coward. And it is called Someday I Will Find You.
Because you know what? That cat wrote some good stuff, music and shows.
He did.
And books.
All right. We'll see you next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Someday I'll find you, moonlight behind you, true to the dream I am